then the conclusion of the American community will have to trace with conclusion to Western society in general. So there is in American society a good isolation from the rest of mankind or humanity. The American society, the powerful of the Western society. Let me, using the old method of the rationalists, Descartes, Spinoza, like the medieval scholars, employ the method of moral theological, the way geometry is explained. Means how the thing it is a set of postulates, these axioms. If you disagree with me on the axiom, so tell me, I have no speech with you. If you reject the Euclidean error, axioms postulate they are from Euclidean geometry. Machevsky, Riemann defined the simple rejected the axiom of Pythagoras. So the whole geometry changes. So tell me if you don't agree with it, so I'll save time and we'll walk home and then you'll feel much better. When I said that I'll start with a set of postulates, I mean to say first, Western man is confused or perplexed and which is an adjective, if you like better. Mm-hmm. Within the Western community, the American is the most confused person. Within the American community, the perplexity of the Jew, the American Jew, is greater than that of the Christian American. It means the most confused person today is the American Jew. That's exactly what we are going to explore and going to explain. You understand very well, if Western society is confused, the cause of confusion is not just a psychological or a spiritual one, but a metaphysical. The request of metaphysical is something wrong with this Western man. I'm not speaking about Eastern man, about the country. It's a different. He represents a different society. So you forgive me if I'll depart from the topic. Now, develop another idea. We just read the Song of Songs, its counterpart, do you know what I mean by its counterpart? What is actually the counterpart of Shashir? Careless, we shall go moving to the side of the both books, which are prima facie two attributes representing two mutually exclusive moods and emotional climates, have nevertheless one metaphysical premise in common. The one posture about men in which both books, no matter how diametrically opposed to each other, they are accepted without any question. Both agree that man is a rebel, an insurrectionist. He is a protester, or should I use the Greek expression, in Prometheus, change your life. Against whom does meant for Midius, revolt, transgression which hides it. Who and what does it hide? With whom and what is it disillusioned? Or dissatisfied and next? There's one else, and it is not. Man rises against himself. He dislikes himself, defies himself, and his insurgency is directed against his own self and against the existential situation of which he is a part. He wants to be both hooks again. Not what man in reality is, and what man is supposed to be. But somebody else. He is continuously questing for another ontological situation, which, if achieved, if achieved, will strip him of his very identity. He does not want to be himself. Of course, on one hand, it is a blessing, it is a rebellion, it is revolt, it is a shame, it is disillusionment, it is bitterness against himself, it is a great blessing. Where man, not a capricious, questing, searching, dissatisfied, intellectual, but a complacent, sedate, realistic bourgeois, he would have not become the creator of the great Western civilization. Man's restlessness, as a matter of fact, we all have a crisis of grief, understood that. Man's restlessness and rebellion is disenchantment and disappointment in what he is, and his fiery passion for an obsession with being what he is not meant to be, are the dynamic forces that gave man his unique charisma and talent to rise above all other creatures. Because the Judean man is responsible for man's functional civilization. Now let's take a look at those books. The song that songs portrays what? What is actually the whole book of Shirashire protect? What kind of story does Shirashire read? It portrays a shepherd king, we don't know whether it's king or shepherd or both together, who is called the Shirashire in God, the lover. It portrays the God in love with the Shulamite, whom he never met, and never laid eyes on. And vice versa, Shulamite is intoxicated with a passionate love for the God whom she had never seen. Yes, at times she hears his voice. At least she thinks so. She hears his melodious, warm, caressing voice, singing of her. At other times, she feels as if he were hiding behind the flowering bush, just a few yards away. But she begins to search for him, she finds him now. They both reach out for each other both hands to discuss with each other. Then God and the Shilamite, in the Song of Songs, in Shir HaShirim, rebelled against the concrete.
Pick it up, Dino.
And perceptible all of their
hello, eyes. Hello, Sam, how's it coming?
Against themselves, every part of their brother, and they chase after a non-renewed fugitive image, which moves away from them as the velocity of light. What about the Kehelos, about the Ecclesia? The Ecclesia is rebelling again, against himself, against everything as in the light. He objects to the really cyclic repetitiousness and the bleak presence. He wants to be more than he and more than he ever can be. As he said himself, I make me great works, I build me houses, I planted me vineyards, so I was great and increased more than all that
yes,
were before in Jerusalem. Again,
M.O. 81st Street.
King of water and Babylon, protesting against himself, against the world of me, which is inseparable from human existence. Before the King of Jerusalem, of heaven, with whom is war, with himself. And of course, like the love story in Shir HaShirim, which ends in failure, the incessant pursuit of the old King of Jerusalem after a fugitive, imaginary, non-reality, and independent. The difference between Shir HaShirim and Kohelet is not related to the story itself of the events. They're almost identical. The story of men rebel, men committed, be a header, be a king, brought to the emotional reaction on the part of man to failure. At times, men rebel is not savaged by failure. On the contrary, the greater the disappointment, the more fiery the passion. The fact that the most precious of all loves, the love of the Shulamite, or the love of the day, for the day of dawn, is ipso facto the most elusive of all loves. Receding into this approach of man into the gaze of non-reality does not discourage either the Lord or the Shulamite. On the contrary, it stimulates man's fantasy, his questing nature, and makes him wonder restlessly, searching, exploring, and reaching out for the unattainable. The Shulamite of Shir HaShirim does not give up. Neither does the Lord, the young shepherd king. The book of Kings is a note of bold hope and optimism. At other times, the failure results in frustration. Rebelling men, when defeated and mocked by an ultimate and unfriendly reality, begins to consider respect for self as God, for the beyond self. When the self looks for a beyond self, for an existential experience which is unreal, it sometimes never fails to achieve what he was out to achieve, considers his undertaking as a madness. Eventually, on enjoying the visual adventure that God placed at his disposal. The greed for the unattainable, the contempt for the attainable and the real, and the great disenchantment within and rebellion against his own self lead many a time to great despair and a philosophy of negativism. And that is the story of church. The difference is just as to the emotional reaction. The drama is the same. Men's chase of men's pursuit after something which he will never have. Now the question I have is, why does man rebel? Why does it defy itself? Why is it dissatisfied? Is everything irrelevant? Why? Oh, brother, the wisest of all men, the Lord and Shulamite, young, to enjoy happiness. Where are the hours of the chase after the Adam and down the mirage, which proceeds with that torch of man? The answer is simple. You know what answer is?
Home.
Because he is mad. The locker would not be human if you were not a rebel against the government. His humanity comes to expression in his return. Why? When here comes in the Judean today's theory of human dialectic. Of course, for me, it was taken out of by Christian theologian, the first one who actually plagiarized our idea of human dialectics was Augustine. And since him, it has been a steady motif of any theological system. Many strong asunder. He is an antithetic, contradictory church gentleman. In what does the dichotomy of man, of which he has spoken so frequently, consist? Why is he divided? He is divided as power. On the one hand, he belongs into the here and the now of the earth. He belongs here and now. He is the power of our landscape, of our scenery, as the blossoming trees in the spring are, as the brook in the mountain, where the star in the heavens on a clear spring night. He is part of us, our landscape. A scenery without man, no matter how it changes, when you call the youth nature still like that, something is missing. Men always complete scenery of the landscape. When the Bible narrates the story of creation, man is interwoven into the general texture of Mother Nature. He is her son, Skolov, son of the earth. In short, man's existential awareness is a here in and now awareness. I am here, I belong here. And the earth is man's home. Right here in home. השמיים שמיים על השם, ואורץ נוסם לבניורו. הבן נזנת בן פרעה. Er hört mir in den Norden, in der Echt. An Roderheim, mehr du musst ausdrücken, in den tiefen Norden, in den tiefen Menschen. In den Menschen nach Wien, wie es wäre nicht. Wie er gefällt sich, wie ich behaupte, wie ich behaupte, He possesses freedom of decision and action. He is aware of himself, his existence in the conscious world. His roots extend into the great beyond and above. He is not part of the familiar landscape, but is a stranger here. And heaven is the home of man. Many people, according to God, a stranger and non-sufferer. He is born, he is a guest and a resident on this earth. Man's tragic, perplexing destiny is the result of his duality, his schism, his dialectical experience of being within and beyond nature. A stranger and a sojourner. And that dual consciousness of man came so beautifully to expression in the question of interior. Shimo Kirosti Adishem, Vishabosi Azino, El Dimosi Al Teperash, he gave on the dream of Teshto, the whole of Israel. Hear my prayer. Give ear into my heart. It means I'm a tragic, pathetic, miserable being creature. Keep not silent, silent at my peers, for I'm a stranger to me, as well as a sojourner, as all my fathers were. A stranger here and a sojourner. A guest who came just in the life, cause of his belly, and disappearing into eternity, and he is an old settler, whose roots spoke deep into soil of nature. I am a stranger. I am also a sojourner, like all my parents, and like all my descendants, all, like all my parents were, and like all my descendants, like I am. I don't know where I belong. And what is man's idea? What is the art of achieving? What is he pursuing? What is he chasing? He is out of harmony. He is aware of, to use a Hegelian language, he is aware of the riches, but also aware of the antithesis to him and looks for synthesis, but not our synthesis. But I hate to see small he looks for harmony. He looks for the reconciliation of the opposites. He looks for reconciliation of the irreconcilables. He is looking for existential peace, for the dark feeling of the here and now world, which is forever. And the sensible energy man in the simultaneous dwelling in heaven and on earth. How beautiful our hearts are the world of the entire human world, the story of the gospel, about the feminine joy in the habit of honor. The still is out of the desert, and the shore will be empty, and one sees, one preparing of the habit of honor, for the actor, he wants to see something beautiful, our choice. From the actor, he said, in my case, Schmeier, show you a point, a sign. Where heaven and earth are united in existence. Heaven and earth, time and eternity, time and future and infinity are united in that place and existence. And there is some asking, where is this miraculous place? Where is this place? We don't find it on the map. We are many spots, an healthy, finite, natural, and at the same time, heavenly, infinite, transcendental. Where is it? You know, never. It's better than another day, but twice a day. We conclude each semester with a prayer for peace. What kind of peace are we praying for? This is not the peace. The peace to which you are trusting is not the political equilibrium, nor the excellence of the loving world. The peace is the metaphysical peace between here and now and before ever. The peace which only the person reaches their sight, where heaven and earth are united in a place can find. At this point, man's real tragedy begins. He has just proclaimed man not only as a great being, but also as a tragic being. When the sight of children, about which the Bedouin is experienced by him, told Rabbi Rahman, where is the sight of the child? Where is it? There's only one place. I shouldn't use the place. Place, the connotation of something. It's an aesthetic. This could be found only in the extra faith of God. Because what is in this world? Everything is fine. Our identity of the world is there for finality. The universe, the scientific picture, is perhaps also finite. We were not aware of it. Matter of physics, particularly quantum mechanics, the height and field of relativity, and the universe is just global. There is no infinity. The infinity is not about the picture. If space has a curvature, a curve, we will then know that it's small. So the nature of the natural cosmos, the universe, now we are speaking about the next number of universe, in finite units. So what is infinity? Neither are in the world, nor in the universe, nor in the stars, nor in the uncharted dark wings of absolute faith. Who's in danger to be found? There's only one redeemed and melted. You have to light it. You can come close. Come close in my face. You know about my mind and into that nation. And that is the human desire. One must join God, who does indeed abide in the world and out of the world. He dwells in within the past world, within finite humans, the obstacle in the universe, the hunt in the heaven, and the way Hazan and Alphabet, the way of particular Kabbalah and Alphabet, God is finite as well. You must say of God is only infinite. He is infinite and finite. In his inscrutable wisdom and will, in his time, in me, stopped by the Spirit. You also will meet them in Japan and Bethesda. Interestingly, the Mavrish of God, nature has frightened, the meaning will make it all the sanctuary for God. In a Shomari, in Shmira Shomari, they have a Tumba. God answered in nature, when I'm making a mistake. If I will, I'm in infinity itself. If I will, I'm in some sedition of sin. And I can get in the four cubits, or in place of the only God, another one, only God can, and he will, resolve the dichotomy and reconcile the contradiction or bring about the coincidence of the God as the Hindus our story. Only he will usher in the eschatological age in which time and eternity, finiteness and infinity will merge into one of them. What is the eschatological reality? What is the oil of the God? The Rambam, achieve the greatest of all good, namely the awareness of infinity. However, and here is my question, Western civilization has been aiming differently. It has tried, has attempted, and is still attempting to solve man's problem. All by itself. It has failed. Most soon, but terribly. No wonder that Western man is disoriented, frustrated. No wonder that he is bitter and rebellious against his own ineptitude, against his own kindness. What is Western civilization want to achieve? In terms of finitude and infinity, in terms of that miraculous, mythical place where heaven and earth are united in peace. Western civilization has been trying hard, still trying, it will never give up to achieve infinity in three areas. First, in the area of life. Second, in the area of knowledge, of nature. Third, in the area of morality. First, in the area of life. Man becomes aware of his finiteness, the very instant he meets his death. First time, there he is face to face with death. He becomes aware of his power, of his limitation. Man does not want to die, I don't have to tell him. He wants to live forever. He is trying hard to defeat friendship, noble time, which is responsible for death and hatred. He wants to move into a new ontological dimension of the everlasting existence. And man is everything and it is his time. I'm not speaking of, I'm speaking of immortality, not longevity. Longevity is something else. Man is no doubt may succeed in prolonging his life considerably. Let us say he may even reach the age of 50. Then, I mean, for science, they're imaginative. And perhaps beyond that. However, he will never defeat death at such. It is an absurd even in scientific fiction. The lack of death is not a consequence, is a consequence of man being a finite being. Does it mean a finite being? In this regard, finiteness in this respect means the dependence of man upon a functioning biochemical organism, which and the biochemical organism must die at some point in time. It cannot be normal, but it is a contradictory adjective. Death is not something extraneous to organic life, but an internal paradigm. Organic life means scientifically aging. Organic aging. And aging means systematic deterioration of tissue and diminution of quality. In other words, man, finite organic man must die. Will man never reach immortality? Ask the others. The opposite does, yes, we will reach. But not with his wisdom. But by the will of God. Will come the time when God will see it to the joy of many more. You know about the story of the child who broke out the shape of him out of time. But this is outside of the New York. Beyond the subject. The scientific analysis. My father didn't speak of longevity in terms of carbon abundance, but not in terms of immortality. And we know all the possibilities. And the world leading to the age of high is one. The Almighty stationed east of the Garden of Eden, the cherubim, and the fiery ever-turning sword to guard the way to this real life. Beautiful story, beautiful dramatization of men's effort to attain immortality in this failure question. Now next, the second area. Where man wants to be infinite. Man is early to gain infinite. This is the area of the intellectual gesture, the area of knowledge. Next to life, man loves knowledge. Both these, at the end of this time, are failing. The aim of higher data, They've been planted in this center of the garden here. In what will be your mission? The scientific experience is unfortunately a limited one. In what boundless knowledge, graphically and also. He is defeated again. He cannot resolve the mysterious magnum of nature. Of course, men may accumulate in the passage of time enormous amounts of knowledge. He may explore not only the solar system, but perhaps spaces outside of our planetary constellation. Everything is possible. However, his freedom of exploration and mobility is, will remain limited to an insignificant segment of the cosmos, the latter with boundlessness and power, who will remain a closed book, a frightening enigma to man. It not only will the world remain a mysterious magnum, a great enigma, but the mysterious remember the frightening enigma as well. Herrscher, therefore, Masse, wie ist davor, die relative Vorübarschaft genommen worden. Aber so hat mich meine Impotenz, meine Nick, meine Energie ist nicht genommen, denn alles ist nicht genommen. Yes, you always, you men always, remain ignorant. Und alles liegt sich, again in optimistic answer. No, you will be at some time, at some point in time, you will be omniscient. And then, and God will do it. Time will come, more of a single punishment, and now you do a young hospital. Then alone, you will have to make it up. Now when we come to the area, we are men long and clutch sheep, infinity, still trying to achieve infinity. Many are ready to say that they have achieved infinity. And man's failure of that area is total.
How nature functions,
what is reality and why reality. But there is another ground in there. And man has been divided. Divided his own mind. And his faith in his heart. In this area, man came completely. In fact, in my opinion, the original sin, there are also many doctrines to be pondered about original sin, consisted in man's attempt to legislate his own moral law. Lei tagas, la nanne tolare molto di. La batteria ne si scelta. La plauta, la teva ma. Jurating has maintained that man is unable to write his own moral code. A man-made moral law is ineffectual and must disappoint. In order to achieve moral perfection, the ultimate effort, man has no choice but to surrender to a higher moral intimate reason. Of course, man as a final being may write a higher norm, a relative law. However, he will never succeed in stepping up his finite law and the ultimate moral law. When man's presumptuous role as an outfighter of morality is upstairs and a kind of disastrous. And man's restlessness and unhappiness is a consequence of his failure to achieve moral ethical infinity without that, to reach out beyond the bounds of nature without inviting the Almighty to come with him and guide him along the realms of infinity. The letter of F, this goes back. In the stories of all war, man tries to write his moral code, faith, and being somebody. It can be traced back to the Renaissance period. This is philosophy of Hellenism, and yet, this is desire to write his moral code. The first great disillusion of man in the field of morality, which has precipitated the world, the revolution in Russia and exchanged the social order in Europe was the first to change the first revolution came the First World War, which was indeed an imperialistic war. Interesting is the following. Right before the First World War, at the turn of the century, Neo-Kantianism, which is the philosophy which sees the ultimate human achievement in mathematical science, in classical physics, in the scientific abstract construct, it's also a philosophy which has absolutized the moral law written by man. This is central. It falls in the category of imperative. If it says category, it means only absolute imperative. How man has the ability to write an infinite law, the absolute ultimate. See, while this type of philosophy, Neo-Kantianism, in a variety of these spices, Lately, throughout European democracy, before the First World War, existential, or shall I say, the non-scientific mode of thinking, which instead of studying nature, concentrate on the most irrational and the most absurd phenomenon in this world, namely, man, to forever, and begin to penetrate into the lecturers of Western universities. Man is dissolution, became dissolution after the First World War. Of course, the first generations, particularly Germany, you know it in wanted to predict political developments, he had studied in philosophical and geology universities. It was a very dramatic mirror, which reflected somehow any kind of disillusionment or any change in the human world. Of course, the rise of Nazism and the acquiescence of the democratic states in general, and the Jewish people in particular, in the psychopathic cult of Christ, perpetrated by evil men of the Nazi hierarchy, experienced the process of complete disenchantment of the finite human being, with its claims to infinity, particularly in the relevant half-moral. And basically, the Western world has not changed its stand vis-à-vis human limitedness and human finitude and human inability to achieve the best or to achieve the ultimate. This is basically the metaphysical background of human restlessness now, beyond the end of the and it was to visit you and the same state of disillusion. It's the original which has been accumulated over centuries, over genuinely and centuries, but exploded after the Second World War. Of course, the emotional confusion, which involves an attempt at transformation of the accepted axiological hierarchy, to use the Nietzsche's term, must lead meanings, either moral skepticism, which simply will accept permitted and undisciplined LNA as ideals, as more ideals, or may lead to a determination from out of despair to try again, to deify men again, to adore them again, to worship him again, to make him more strenuous effort, a broader attempt to capture infinity without God, a God's infinity, to achieve the impossible, and whatever else. Western civilization is moving in the direction of unlimited and undisciplined LNA. The external world, the world behind the eye curtain, does not give up. Because Marxism, people make a mistake, when they think Marxism is the theory of economy, it's an economic theory, but not the most important aspect of Marxism. Marxism was a passport to steal. I remember as a child, Marxism was Condemn your word. It was a gospel, it was a Bible. What is the essence of Marxism? Our limited activism. Our limited faith in man. Man can make good. If you have power later, if you fail, you will try again. And if you fail again, you will try again. The third one, the fourth one, the fifth one. And you will do it, sir. Let me try again to write the ultimate absolute law of the world began. This is the story of the Western society, more or less. Now let's come to that end. The American, as we have stated, at the very beginning, is more confused than his European public. Why? There are two reasons, in my opinion, responsible for the excessive confusion remaining in the United States. And I want you to say, I want you to know, I don't consider the world to be a man as theories. The world of man is not a promise. It can follow in the process of dissolution. It is not a real cause. It is an action which was ruled. And the power of the thought, which is from the thought, was actually the explosives accumulated in this country before the war in Vietnam. The Western European culture differs from the American, and in one respect. The Western European culture civilization has had an existentialist switch. The word existentialist switch to European culture since its very inception. No matter how exalted and powerful the optimistic, rationalistic, tradition was. There was always a skeptic, a doubter, a pessimist. May I use a slang, a sound. She could have said a sound thing. Margaret, the philosopher, and the visionaries, and the dreamers, and the enthusiasts, that man is not going to be a victor. You know, I mean, Father, when I do, sorry, my youth, I'm sorry, after the last year, faith in Greek desire, in Jewish desire, Greek faith in Jewish desire. The all is so bad. European culture was always blessed with the mission. Oh! He always said that at death, man is a paradox. At worst, a big fraud. He always this sour face, only said that when he stood to fail, may try a thousand times, but you fail now. There came a Galian generation, which was the most triumphant as far as interest. Here is the crazy Schopenhauer now. And the Jewish children are. In the Cartesian spinocistic period, there was a Pascal, strange person was a Pascal. Himself, a mathematician and physicist, had made the round. Discover the tragic role of man in the inner contradiction in it, and what his contemporaries, great scientists and philosophers, astronomers, began with him in that denial. I never met in the 17th century with literature, so there was a crazy John Donne who kept on telling people that the girls called for him, for them, but then not for anybody else, but for the first issue we had met. Among the scholars, there was Augustine, who was impressed with man as a problem, as a enigma, as an absurd. In a word, the Book of Psalms left its imprint upon the European mind. Basically, the great book of African specialism is the Book of Psalms. And the psalmist is the greatest and the centralist of all. In a word, the Book of Psalms left its imprint upon the European mind. Basically, the great book of African specialism is the Book of Psalms. And the psalmist is the greatest and the greatest of all times. Hence, the big modern failure of modern man did not come unannounced to the European mind. As a complete surprise to the European philosopher. Unfortunately, the American tradition knew nothing of its century. And so it went. It has always, and particularly in the last century, in the Reconstruction period, after the Civil War, has always subscribed to a happy, healthy, bold, optimistic, and constructive philosophy, particularly the work of Pierce, who did not change the work of practice. Truth is practice, truth is business. The only problem that American philosophy of the last century, second half of the last century, and the third half of this century, was concerned with the words how can handle the happiness of man by granting more dominion over our reason of man. Therefore, the disappointment struck. It was a sudden surprise, and it did strike the American with the violence of an unexpected whirlwind after so long favor which destroyed Job and his family and his home. This is one reason. Second reason is his fault. The American government, that he has a mission to confirm, very faithful, the most secular of all Western men, and the mission of awareness. As a matter of fact, American internationalism, which manifested itself during the First and Second World Wars, was precipitated by the mission of awareness of the American. The First World War was fought by Americans in order to end wars, to save democracy. The second, in order to save the world from slavery, it was true. America has saved the world from slavery and oppression by Hitler. That's why America is one for me, in generosity, in tremendous. His American nation has a didactic aspect, namely a paternalistic aspect. Namely, I help you in all that you should be able to follow in my steps. And I've got my way. As a matter of fact, I told you very clearly, I could never find out what another way of life is. I tried hard. What is better than another way of life?
Science, philosophy, theology, I don't know.
heart and that you can positively experience. There is only one other method in this whole experience, and that we should look out. The American does not understand, has never understood, the meaning of the Aristotelian modern being, the Shiva Zohar. He is a man who swings emotionally like a pendulum between two opposite poles. Yesterday, just yesterday, one was not allowed to mention the name of China. Not mentioned. And whoever had the audacity to say something was tarred and feathered, denounced as a traitor, and excommunicated. Today, President of the United States tries to please the family and exhibits some delusion and skill in handling what they call the fourth of the world. Yesterday, none thought of the Negro at all. Today, the greatest universities bow and succumb to the pressures of some Negro politicians. Yesterday, the American was arrogant, boastful, proud, and drunk in self-adulation. Today, masochistic, American outbothers the experience of the masochistic, self-hating, self-effacing, and condemning everything that stands for us. The American cannot make up his mind and understand that this country, even though far from being the kingdom of God on earth, is nevertheless a mighty good and wonderful country, whose power and influence are still indispensable for the survival of freedom in this world. God America is not there. The whole world will be invaded. Europe by Russia, Asia by China, and America by the whole world will be probably by partition. If ecstasy tears suddenly in the red sphere, anything might happen. We use it as a familiar in America. We don't know where, how, where the pendulum will be by which part. Now let me come to the Jews. You know, the day of progress, the blow of 90 rolls of oil, out of the 9, the 11 drums of hair, and the whole time, don't start with the Jews, don't start with my full age, I should have started right here now, but I wanted to give you the background. You can mine and get it from that. The Jew, as I said before, the Jew is more confused than the American non-Jew, because the Jew's complexity is due not only to his being a member of the American Western society, but also to his being the Jew, or a member of the covenantal society. Let us understand in a thorough attitude. In my opinion, and I thought a lot about this, in my opinion, the Jew lived through four experiences. During his sojourn in America, and his sojourn in America, while being counting to count, and the last quarter of one of the 19th century Jewish immigration staff that come into Rome to the United States, about 81, 82, and 83. And then in the last century, and unfortunately, the party who let us suffer. The thing which contributes to his confusion. We are told another Jew who was in the past, like all Americans, self-assuring and complacent to the point of being arrogant and insensitive to problems of destiny, has fell into a confused meek being, who has no fear of his own and used pressures from the outside. And now let me tell you, there is no representative Jewish leadership in the United States. I don't want to talk too much about it today anymore. If you count all those organizations of the Jewish committed, and the Jewish founded, and the Jewish founded, if we submit them and then back to them, the going to make a judgment is not done for them. What happened? What happened to this individualistic American Jew? What happened? Something weird. Let me enumerate the focus in this book. Otherwise, it would be impossible for myself. Experience number one is being the American. When the Jew came and the ship, no refugee, was there from in the river, thousands of immigrants, 85%. In that moment, the Jew set his foot on the other soil, he knew he is an American. He was very much mesmerized, more than another minority. And charmed by the American mystic. And the Jew meant it to it. While the non-Jew experienced the American mystic, as I said before, in terms of propagation, of faith, and he kept on talking about the American way of life, the Jew interpreted the American mystic in egotistic terms, in selfish. The American Jew kept on repeating that America is different in its treatment of the Jews from all other political communities, including the most westernized and civilized countries. It was a deep conviction on the part of the American Jew. The immigrant Jew, you reiterate, in Trinity, felt it in his form, and he was still about it. Therefore, he tried hard to integrate himself into the American society. Therefore, to be part of it. I don't know, there are all Americans, you don't know that the Jew has a Jew in the Eastern Europe. While in his native country, he felt as a stranger, as an outsider, not having to share in his faith with the government, in the political community. In America, the immigrant Jew didn't say a few words in his speech. Joining political parties, Republicans, Democrats, I came to Boston, I found you, you know, some of my opinion, I'm a Democratic Republican. The Jew was so politically involved in all political campaigns, he enjoyed the hospitality of electioneering. They quickly learned, the Jews actually knew, the new commercial techniques, industrial method. They sent their children to the kind of schools, believing like many clinical Americans did, the culture of civilization had gone on one way. And this same move for the Jews, he had experienced serenity of food. The serenity of food is very important. God was talking to this serene mood and the axiomatic certitude on the part of the American Jew that he didn't come at all. This was the first experience.
You've never been to Holland. Did you ever been to Holland for 1900 years? But when he called me upon me, landed near the island of New York Harbor, somehow he cried out, "Here is his home!" And the determination to participate fully in the American adventure was used on the one hand to resolve whatever you may know, defying the human imagination as far as material growth is concerned. To within 3/4 of a century, that's all, and perhaps in Western, the clearly Jewish community of immigrants wrote the most glorious saga of material success and advancement, the like of which is hard to find in humanity. The Jew has infiltrated many fields of human endeavor, commercial, cultural. The Jew has never been as rich in his entire history, as rich, as productive, as prominent, as secularly as educated in the American is. On the whole, this was an experience with the American Jewish school of 75 years of history. The great American Jewish school, I came from my partner society, all opportunities, I got to live in some day, and no one was talking to exploit it. And the Jew not only thought so, he not only believed it, he on the whole, the American Jewish experience was from a fatalistic viewpoint, pragmatic viewpoint, a creative viewpoint. Even though, in many respects, an individual, the Jew did not preach philosophy of assimilationism. World War and the Holocaust.
ins Kreisklasse. This experience in retrospect would not only have, but in reality, a stern into a shattering, traumatic, guilt damage. And which for them is the most potent factor contributing to the state of conflict and contributing to the conflict in Galatia. And I say it again, you have nothing of the power. The American Jew is perplexed because he is guilty. He feels guilty of his inactivity and doubt guilt. During the dark night of Jewish loneliness, with the entire world, including Christian saints like Schweitzer, Hindu Mahatma, like Gandhi, and Western philosophers and moralists, to witness silently the systematic extermination of millions of people. Why did the American Jew keep quiet during those days of darkness? Why? Why didn't he protest aloud, articulated? Why didn't he present his horror and indignation? Why didn't the thousands of young men and women beating him to white men, millions of Jews in the city, the Congress, why did not the Jewish American leadership act the way a decade and a half later Martin Luther King did on behalf of the people? Was it due to a lack of sympathy, compassion, to indifference, to a feeling of lassitude, of helplessness? After all, in 1903, the American Jewish community, consisting of immigrants, reacted with dignity and disdain to the issue of Holocaust. And the Americanized Jewish community, in falling, was too proudly to be back in the college, to bring pressure on the White House and the Congress. You know what I'm saying? It's strange. I want you to know. I was already not going to say everybody, I'm going to say myself. No, I'm going to say myself. I'm going to say myself. In my opinion, it is, I will leave out now that I'm taking it back. Not to leave out, no, but I'm going to talk about the African. Even now, but I'm going to have it on the other. Get Shabbaton. The time is not the most. We are testing the science. This family of the brotherhood of Hedgehog of Father by Yellow is family. We need time for help. We need help. We have time. We need to take our care now before we see a family with all the other. What happened? The American Indians are all the same. What the American Jew has lost
You have come here. Because I hope you experience it. Even if these heavens have set you. Skeptical thoughts and doubts as to the future troubles now the American Jews. Particularly, of course, again, this is not the business, not the cause. This is again all the time. Particularly now, when the American Jew is facing the Great Revolution. And the given unity is afraid that his interest in the question is always of the Great Community. And what he writes to you, because he lacks his distance of security. He is not serenity, serenity of mind. This was beautiful to us. And again, now came the thought. Thought experience in all the world. In the state of Israel. However, the state of Israel is the thought experience is perhaps the most perplexing experience of all. The American Jews. To the American Jews were Zionists since what shall I say, since Adam and Eve. It's been a blindness since Adam and Eve. He was not an historian since the turn of the century. And don't forget that the first white and strong American Jews are very funny. How illiterate, uneducated, for all the methods. For the secretary, the respected and counsel, the first hundreds. American Jew was Zionist since the turn of the century, however, Zionism to the American Jew was just a habit. He never thought of Zionism in personal terms as something which would affect his own life, or the life and destiny of his children. It was more of a philanthropic kind of pastime, a philanthropic pastime, than a real concern. The American Jew is a plague resignation or plague designer. And an estate which was not real. Until the impossible happened, and suddenly the plague turned into a real form. And it's very confusing. It's not just me. The gentleman in Jerusalem in the American position is a bit of a story to speak to the war. And the American Jews are in such a place. And just the Trinitarian-based answer. The Jews in American soil to fight, get killed, they're making it horrible mistakes. Another perplexing and confusing situation. The American Jew is not just a friend of Israel, it's by far more than that. He's committed to being involved in the destiny. He's a fact. You know, it is going to change or somebody to the left. The left is too much. What is responsible for this woman Israel in half a day? Partly, just partly, we have to play political. It's a political explanation. It is due to the military performance, the bravery and the skill of the people of the army, who have not fought for 1900 years. American Jews in that time. Those impressed by, what shall I say, by God's prayer of winds, or by abysmal prayer of winds, the cause. What do you mean, abysmal? Yeah.
On the other hand, Israel is harvesting now what is being planted in the Jewish American child for the last 75 years in the day schools and also in the hidden schools. Namely, Zionism. The latter, I mean, in the day schools and hidden schools, who were and still are Zionists of all the year. However, in my opinion, the main reason for all this is of a metaphysical nature. It is a bond upon the spiritual, in which weakens in the awareness of Jewish common destiny, the Jewish identity, and somehow or another until it's discovered. Jew, Jewish, the Holocaust and the Muslim experience, and also owing to the space of Israel. The spontaneous and invisible commitment of the American Jews to the state of Israel frightens the American Jews, not for the community. And I don't know what they're speaking of. The American Jew is not out of today, not in the fellowship of America, nor the British government, not even the American Assembly. Well, Jew, you're coming all over the United States, but not in those places. So, not in the Union. Well, Jew, I mean, the naive Jew, the ignorant Jew, is fine. However, fight, we must get this money, that's great. He's fighting. All the commitment is tightening because it is not fashionable. He doesn't know. He inquires of himself, what does it mean? Then he asks himself, is this commitment in conflict? This might be philosophical commitment with this beloved country of mine in the United States. And it's a very specific question. Then he asks again, he asks himself all over again, is, am I indeed guilty of human loyalty or divided allegiance? It's complex. What am I? A Jew in America? Are those parents? Can those parents merge? Or are they mutually exclusive? For destiny, am I involved? In what if war should break out in my family? There's a theoretical possibility. War should break out between Israel and the United States? What shall I do? What do I do in such a case? He asked himself exactly the same question which the Almighty has addressed to us through our nation to heaven. Hayekha, where art thou and who art thou? Per se, the state of emotional confusion and axiological reappraisal is a healthy and blessed thing. I said about the American general, I'm saying about the American introspection of which American mental knowledge, questioning, self-exploration, enrich the personality, first the matter of vulgarity, implicit, his stereotype emotions, and the German cliches, with nothing as long as the German cliche. The American Jew, as the American general today, is by far a more likable and sympathetic being than the Jew of the 30s,
This is particularly true of the college youth. While in the areas are yet career-minded, saying nouveau-riche types, among the college Jewish college youth, now I meet almost every week earnest identity questing, inquisitive and polite young men. This mood of doubt and anguish makes the usual self-ashamed and articulate and stubborn American Jew sensitive to challenges and ready to be taught and to get instruction if there were a teacher. Orthodox thinkers save time, money, and energy instead of already paying. Get the Shabbos in Jerusalem, wearing stones, and fighting for all kinds, for all machines, with family protection of the college. So good the accomplishment. All class you were denied, well educated, ready to be a child, and allowed to teach the family. We have accomplished. Something great, unfortunately, we have to offer. We have to pay our living. There is, however, a flying of this problem. The American Jew is not, as I said before, is not only good, but frightened as well. An unwanted flight approaching sometimes this state or terror is dangerous. Fright is always a disjunctive emotion, not a constructive emotion. At times, it may have disastrous results, particularly in skilled engineers. And the matter is not just. So we responsible people, but I don't want to mention anything. Tell the American Jew of today, the confused Jew, particularly youth. When I say youth, I mean not only college age boys and girls, but high school age boys and girls. The story of Holocaust. I have to know what you know about it. Implying that such a thing can happen about a moment in life, even a year. What else tell the religious American Jew that spiritual survival in the USA is impossible? Therapy is absurd. If you want these children to be steadfast in their religious reality, they must move to the moon of the land of the Americans. Otherwise, if you raise a generation and draw up edits, and I'm almost quoting those children. The trees also frightened by some manifestations, of course, as I said before, on the black civil war. But again, this is not a new concept. Let us not forget that American Jew suffers from the same malady as an American does, from the lack of what the Greeks called metron, proportion, measurement. As the Christian American, the American Jew is prone to exaggeration in his very judgment. Even if you consider America, the country where the eschatological promise is being fulfilled, or
the hooks upon him as a place where danger lurks at every street corner. The truth is that while our country has never reached perfection and will never reach, nevertheless, it has always been and still is a very decent and fine place as far as the truth is concerned. It is as far removed from being similar to the German Weimar Republic as the York is from Berlin. I live in Germany, living in the great fairness of the early forms, during the early period. And I know the movie, I live in the New York. Quite often of the beginning of the Weimar Republic, and even if I begin the revolution, these are men. Now, things are incomparable, incomparable, they differ from the main difference consists in the incommensurability of historical experiences on the part of the German people and American people, including the Jews. While Germany had an ancient tradition of anti-Semitism, but the Semitism was not imported into Germany, not invented out by Germany, and not fabricated by Hitler, and it is untrue. It had a tradition, when I say tradition, it's not a tradition of Jew haters and defenders. A tradicultural tradition of anti-Semitism. Historians in Germany used it in terms of anti-Semitism. Reichsgericht, Chamber, Socialist World Books of Sociology, in terms of anti-Semitism. Philosophers preached metaphysics and ethics in anti-Semitic categories. I could enumerate hundreds of books, Syrian books. Books which were studied at university, at high school. This tradition was getting to the Middle Ages and beyond. Anti-Semitism in Europe, in Germany, was considered very respectable. Major parties and brains. An anti-Semitic flank in the political platform, taking part in like the Deutsche Nationalarmee. It was a different sort of party in Germany, a very respectable party. You don't have a conservative movement in the United States, but in the state of New York, a conservative senator, of course, but there are but in Germany, there was a very one sector of the community who was conservative. This is a wonderful thing of the answer. It was anti-Semitic. And they said it was a culture. Such a thing does not exist in the United States. Yes, there are individual groups. With the love of the religion, usually, the love of the religion, psychologically, politically, that pervades the forum of Jews' hate, Jew hate. But no major movement has ever replaced anti-Semitism as a part of his forum, his political platform. It's very important. Now, let's take a look. The change of administration in Washington has not affected American policy. And I must say, let us admit it, American policy vis-à-vis Israel is extremely noble and extremely high. It's general. Jonas in the capital of America has abandoned the Arab conflict and reabandoned
and love of the attendees all, is also love of the guests in the financial aid which America extends. And I want you to know that American policy vis-à-vis Israel, and we are making a mistake, we know Jesus, is not entirely due to the might of the nation of Israel, to the might of the Jewish government. It is rather a tradition of American foreign policy. It is a result of Jewish prominence and Jewish importance within the American cultural and economic community. America wants to please the population, the community, the government of Washington. The Jews are important second. And the American government does not want to antagonize the Jewish community. Not because it is a slave. It's a revolt in particular government out of the market. Not for that. The government could represent the people. A part of the American Jewish community, of the American community, is Jewish. And very important, not American, but political, cultural, sociological, economic. But that's not what that means. Jihadus has forbidden of Israel the absolutization of any finite human institution. Then cultural good means idolatry. If one says, for instance, that science will redeem him from all his rules and give him infinite happiness, or that sentimentally doctrine such as Marxism will bring salvation to mankind, that a certain institution such as a state is the final and ultimate rule to which we must give our unlimited devotion, then this person who says it is Israel who worships. The United States is a finite group. To worship it will become the problem of the idolatry. The problem is that you